Thank you. Christmas is over.
Wasn't it great? Amazing food, time with family, meaningful worship at church?
I guess.
What's the matter? Did something bad happen?
No, everything's fine. It's just...
Just what?
I don't know. It's just kind of disappointing after Christmas. All the excitement is gone.
Did we have different Christmases? All Advent, we're talking about the gifts God gives us. Hope, peace, joy, and love. Sounds like your gifts disappeared on the 26th.
But nothing really changed. It's back to the same old life.
Dad, it did change. This Sunday is for you. We are going to talk about what is different and how that changes us. It's about praise.
Praise? What's that got to do with Christmas?
It's amazing. It's like Mentos and Diet Coke. You'll see. If you all want to turn in your bulletins to the call to worship, it's near the end. Come, let's worship in faith the God who is here and longs for our worship. Incarnate God, work in our hearts so our worship is filled with the joy that comes from remembering you. We all have seen God in a little child. This is God's plan of freedom, held up for all to see. We rejoice in our rescue and celebrate creation's redemption. The animals, wild and tame, all kings and people of the earth, lightning and hail, snow and fog, women and men, old and young. All praise the Lord together. Our Messiah has come. Alleluia.
Let's continue to praise with 209 in your blue hymnal, Oh How Joyfully. 3 days after Christmas is not too late to sing Christmas Day songs, I don't think. So let's please stand and sing verses 1 and 2 in the German that you see below and verse 3 in English.
So welcome to our last official sermon or service in 2014. It's exciting. I'd love to start with any introductions of guests, if anyone has any to introduce. Well, I'm going to introduce my grandpa, George Dick. He's here from Abbotsford for the holiday season. And my in-laws, Brian and Stella Denishek, are here to celebrate with us today. So welcome. Are there any announcements that anyone would like to highlight today? You're going to get tired of hearing my voice. I'll highlight one. It actually has to do with the Zinc group. So that's ages 20 to 40. We're going to have a potluck, a lunch potluck next Sunday at Aaron and my house, which is the address is in the bulletin. It's going to actually, it says 12, but it will be after church. So whenever you get there, like probably 12:31. we'll say. And would anyone like to go into sharing? Aaron has a mic. All right, then I'll just, if you want to turn to number one in our prayer requests and updates, our condolences go out to Jake and Rita Cron, Ann and Ferdy Peters, and their families and cousins on the passing of Jake and Ann's sister, Mary Clausen. She passed away December 21st. And also, if you go down to number two, our condolences also go out to the extended family and friends on the passing of Mary Peters on Saturday, December 20th. And number three, an exciting announcement that was touched on last week, but Jessica and Jean-Michel Lizot are proud to announce the birth of their baby girl named Alice Ann. And that's Chris's niece. And I don't know if his mom, another baby. And two announcements that didn't make it into the bulletin. Peter Jansen in the Misericordia sends his greetings. And George Weeb, who's currently at the Health Science Center, he's doing a little better and is now on the regular ward. All right. Okay. All right. So we'll move into some worship music.
Thank you. That was beautiful. We seem very quiet today, but I guess we've all eaten a bit too much turkey and snacked on a few too many snacks and stayed up late watching TV specials. And this morning, insult on insult, we got frozen. But you're here. That's wonderful. I'd like to invite you to bow with me as we come as God's people before Him to bring our lives to him this morning. Would you bow with me as we pray? Well, God, once more, we have come through Christmas. We have been reminded of your incredible love, of the way that you reach out to care for us, of the gift of life you have given us. So thank you for that so much. We are grateful for our families. We are grateful for our jobs, for our well-being. We are thankful for our health, for all of the things that you give to us. We are grateful. There are times, God, when we get a little self-absorbed, and Christmas is one of those too. And so at Christmas, there are times we hand out our hamper, kind of dust off our hands and say, now we'll get on to our stuff, and we forget those who are less fortunate than we. So we ask that you would help us to continue to remember our neighbors and those around the world who are suffering. We ask that you would be with those who are in need today. We think of those in hospital and in care homes, that you would help them to feel your nearness. We are grateful for the wonderful programming that goes on, but we know that it's a difficult time for them. We think of those who are alone at Christmas this year, some for the first time, those who have lost spouses or loved ones. It's hard. Christmas is hard. And so be with them, wrap your arms around them, and help us to remember to drop by, to give a phone call, to be your presence and cheer to them. We think of those in our larger world. We, again, at Christmas time, forget about the brokenness of our world. We think about the lonely in our city. We also think about those who experience war and brokenness, hunger, and many devastating things around the world. Be with them. Thank you that you care so deeply. God, this morning we have come to worship you. Thank you for the way that you have made us feel important and valuable, the way that you have chosen to include us in the building of your kingdom. Amen.
So I'd like to invite all the children to come up to the front for a children's story. I know I saw two little kiddos, maybe one in the back. Hello. We'll just wait. Hey, guys.
Some of the other kids are in Mexico and on cruises and all over the place.
But Winnipeg's awesome, too. So, guys, what did you get for Christmas? Oh, it's a secret?
Maybe you should tell them what you got.
Oh, gift cards and money. When you're my age, that's exciting, like a toy. Are you happy with your gifts? Yeah? Did you tell your parents that they are the best parents in the world? Yeah. That's praising them for being good parents. Do you guys know what praise is? Am I scaring you? It's telling people that they're amazing, usually for something that they've done. So do we need others to tell us that we have to praise people? Like, does your mother or father tell you that you have to tell your grandparents that they're really cool? Okay. Or tell our friends they are great friends when they help us? Sometimes we do. But when people are wonderful, praise should just happen. Yeah. So why would we praise God? All right. He loves us. He cares about us. He watches over us. And all through the Advent season, we've been talking about love, hope, peace, and joy, all of those things he brings for us. You can see all the ribbons and around the creche. So does someone have to tell us to praise God? Or does it just happen? You can think about that. And Pastor Gary, is going to show you an experiment. This is what...
You want to come watch? So what we've got is we've got some Diet Coke. We've got a little too much, so we'll dump some out. And we're going to put these in there. You know what these are? These are Mentos. Woohoo! Okay, are you ready for what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Okay. What happened?
It just bubbled out, right?
Yeah.
That's what Carrie was talking about with praise. When our moms and dads say something really cool for us, then we are happy and we say, oh, I love you, and we give them a big hug, or our grandparents. I don't think it'll do it anymore, but I'll throw another one in. Nope, all done.
So that's what happens when we praise God. Our praise bubbles over like the Coke there. So do you guys want to bow your heads and pray? We'll do a quick prayer.
Let's pray.
Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to earth and being born here. And please help us to bubble over with praise for you. Amen. And I have some thank you cards that you can color. So you can take probably a lot of these. You have an owie?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, we can praise that. That was all that happened, right? So we have some thank you cards, and you can color them and give them to someone you want to praise, like your mom or your grandpa. So I can give you like 4 each. Here you go.
Here's some for you. You can color them and give them to somebody, okay?
Okay. All right. You can go back to your parents.
To continue with children's music, let's sing Away in a Manger, number 194. Would you please stand if you wish and sing this with us? Not quite as slow as Eau du Fröhliche this time.
To invite the ushers up for the offering, and Trudy and Carol will play us a song.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol and Trudy. That was beautiful. I will be reading scripture from Luke 2, verses 22 to 40. You can follow along in your bulletin if you'd like. Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord, just as the law of the Lord says, each firstborn baby boy belongs to the Lord. At this time, a man named Simeon was living in Jerusalem. Simeon was a good man. He loved God and was waiting for God to save the people of Israel. God's Spirit came to him and told him that he would not die until he had seen Christ the Lord. Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms and praised God. Lord, I am your servant, and now I can die in peace, because you have kept your promise to me. With my own eyes, I have seen what you have done to save your people. Your mighty power is a light for all nations, and it will bring honor to your people of Israel. Then he blessed them and told Mary, this child of yours will cause many people in Israel to fall and others to stand. The prophet Anna was also there in the temple. Night and day she served God in the temple. At that time, Anna came in and praised God. She spoke about the child Jesus to everyone who hoped for Jerusalem to be set free. The child Jesus grew. He became strong and wise, and God blessed him. I will also be reading Isaiah 61, verses 10 to 11. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations.
It's really neat when our children grow up and land up being smarter than us. I've really enjoyed, after the services, Carrie and I often have lots of discussion about what happened in the service and what we talked about. And so today we decided we would do the sermon together. So thanks for doing this, Carrie. I'm looking forward to this.
Me too. Thanks.
The Christmas story is a story of spontaneous praise. Like Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, when John is finally born, he breaks out in this amazing song of praise called the Benedictus, which is part of the liturgy of many churches. He says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people to redeem them and help them to be all he has called them to be. And so Zechariah's response is a response of praise as he looks at the way that God is coming to bring salvation for us.
Or Mary, who pours out the amazing Magnificat in Luke 1, verses 46 to 55. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And like Zechariah, with joy and passion, he goes on to tell of how God has and will bring salvation to his people.
Or the wise men, who praise God by giving their time and their gifts and their obedience. You can just imagine the contentment on their faces as they waddle back through the desert, because they're on camels, not because they ate too much, on their way back home.
Or the shepherds, as they leave the manger scene, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I bet they told that story for the rest of their lives to everyone, anyone who would listen, and everyone.
The story in our passage today is about Anna and Simeon. The passage says that Simeon was a good man and loved God. What a compliment to say to someone. Now, there's a tradition about Simeon. It's not in the Bible, but it helps us understand and put this together. This tradition says that Simeon was one of the 70 people that translated the Old Testament from Hebrew into Greek. It's called the Septuagint. And the tradition goes that as he's translating, he gets to the book of Isaiah, and it says, and a virgin will bear a child. And he's going to change that to a young woman. Let's make sense out of this, he says. And he has a vision, and the angel says in the vision, no, that's what I meant. A virgin will have a child. And the angel goes on to say, and you will live to see the day. So one day, as Zechariah is in Jerusalem,
The Holy Spirit moves him to head down to the temple. So he goes down, meets Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. And when he sees Jesus, he breaks into praise. And he says, I can die in peace, for I've seen the salvation that God will bring to all people.
And Anna was 84 years old. She had been married for only 7 years when her husband died. She then decided to live in the temple. The story tells us that her father's name was Phanuel, which means face of God. He was likely a godly man who reflected the character of God, someone God calls us all to be. Anna spent her time in the temple worshiping and praising God and doing whatever she could to help out. When Anna first sees Jesus, she knows who this is because she knows God. Her response is to praise God and tell everyone that the Messiah has come.
Isn't it interesting? In all these stories, when people encounter God, they break out in praise. It just sort of bubbles over. In case you didn't see what we were doing at the front, if you take Diet Coke and drop some Mentos in there, it bubbles over. I think it's recommended that you use a 2-liter bottle if you want to try this at home and shake it up and drop some Mentos in. It'll actually shoot to the roof. When we read passages like Isaiah chapter 6, we see this very clearly, that the prophet meets God in a dream, and we see all the angels praising God. And Isaiah praises God by responding to God. God says, who will I send? And he says, here am I, send me. Or in the book of Revelation, we see in chapter 5 all the angels praising God. And in chapter 7, it says people from every language and background and denomination, doesn't say denomination, but I'm sure, getting together around the throne of God, more than you can count. And they have one voice as they praise God. So, anyhow, it boils down to this. If we have met God again this year at Bethlehem, and that's what we were talking about all through Advent, then shouldn't our lives, like the Diet Coke, bubble over with praise to God?
Why do you think that we don't often praise?
Well, it's a little incriminating because we're talking about us then too, right? I think sometimes that some of us don't praise God because we're Herod in the story. We're Herod in the sense that we don't want anything to change. Herod wanted status quo. No, don't change anything. Leave it the way it is. Sometimes our comfortable lifestyle leads to an attitude of entitlement. And if I'm allowed to say this in church, sometimes we turn into spoiled children. We have no sense of appreciation. We simply expect everything. Of course we get that. There's no sense of anticipation. We want things, we want them now and right now. There's no sense of joy and gratitude after we've gone through a hard time and we say, oh, we're so grateful for what we've learned and what we've come through. If anything, there's a sense of annoyance that we had to endure it. Some months ago, we talked about the third generation syndrome in business. You probably remember that. Generation 1 dreams and creates. Generation 2 works hard. And very often, the third generation is pampered and protected against hard work. And there's a sense of entitlement and arrogance, which often has the business going down the tubes.
So, when everything in our life is going well, it's easy to forget how being a Christian has changed our lives and what it means to follow Jesus with our lives. We also forget that we are different than the world around us, that our task is to invite the world to experience new life in Christ. And we forget the commitment, the hard work, the change in attitude that we are called to have as Christians.
It's easy to have a sense of entitlement, and sometimes even arrogance in our faith. And when that happens, the praise doesn't come. It can't. Our focus becomes on getting what we want. Even our worship is about us often.
Maybe when the Bible says we will suffer if we choose to follow Jesus, it is an act of grace to keep us focused so that we can experience God at work in our life, so we can feel our hearts sing and dance with praise.
I don't think Mennonites' hearts dance, do they?
I think they do.
Okay. Praise is not an emotional response we get in an exciting worship service or a response when we get what we want in life. Praise is not what we do when we get a deal on a house or when we win a car at Tim Hortons or when we don't get stopped by the police when we should have.
It comes down to this, Dad. Praise is a song that bubbles spontaneously from a heart rooted in a relationship with God. It is not tied to your finances, health, or even being upwardly mobile.
Exactly.
So, what has God done for us that invites our praise?
Interesting question.
I thought so.
We like to take things apart to see how they work. We like to understand before we buy in because we need to know. We're inquisitive people. But life isn't always like that. Life isn't simply the sum of the parts. It's more than that. When we look at the people that we mentioned earlier, Zechariah, Mary, the wise men, the shepherds, Anna, Simeon, the one thing they had in common that invited praise was they encountered God. That's it. Asking why, what God has done to invite our praise is a little bit like asking somebody why they've fallen in love. Give me an answer. I want to understand this. It just happened. Or why parents are so deeply in love with their firstborn child or any other subsequent children too.
I know. Got it.
And there's not a real clear answer. It's just because. I think that our praise with God begins with an openness. If we're like Herod and want everything to remain the same, it doesn't matter how much we explain what God has done that we should praise him. We won't, because we don't want anything to change. We want everything to stay the same. If we look through the texts that that Carrie read earlier and some of the ones we referred to, there are some things in there that can get us thinking about why we praise God. I mentioned Isaiah and Revelation a few minutes ago. The reason they tell us we should praise God is because God is God. It's as simple as that. He's the creator and sustainer of all that is, the eternal one, as Revelation 1 puts it, the one who was and is to come. Systematic theology through the years has given us lots of language where they struggled with this. They say God is the one who is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. That's why we should praise him. He's the unmoved mover, and while there's lots of other language that people use. Psalm 8 puts it this way. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have set in place, who are we that you're mindful of us, human beings, that you care for us? It's amazing. There's a sense of awe. Psalm 46 says, even if the world falls apart, even if our world falls apart, God is still there. God is still God. And so when we recognize that God is God, there's a sense of awe that comes over us, and we want to respond with praise.
And he's the one who created us in his image and drew up the blueprints for our lives. Like Psalm 139, you knit me together in my mother's womb, which is a beautiful picture. He knows how we are made and what we need to be whole. He is the one who has dreams for us beyond what we can imagine, as Ephesians 3 puts it. And he has woven into our DNA a longing to be his child. Something inside has this deep sense of joy when we connect with God.
Another reason to praise God is that God is our salvation. Mary and Zechariah in the passages we mentioned earlier in Luke 1 talk about that. God has been bailing people out forever. He forgives us, invites us back into relationship with him. He's given us his word. He's spoken to us through prophets and nature and our conscience. And finally, he came in Jesus to show his incredible love. He was born. He showed us through his life what his love meant. And finally, he died for us. And this is another reason that when we encounter God, when we encounter this salvation, that we erupt in praise.
And he promises us life now, through his people, his church, and through his Holy Spirit, and in the future, an eternity with him. It's amazing the way God cares about us being all we can be. He helps us sort things out in a lot of ways, by surrounding us with caring people, by prompting us by his Holy Spirit, and sometimes through the wisdom of the social sciences.
And the list goes on and on and on. I love reading through the Psalms, and the psalmist goes, oh yeah, here's another reason to praise God. So, oh yeah, God understands us when he hurts, and he helps and heals us, and he fills us with a sense of belonging. and it continues to go on. The bottom line is this. The reason we praise God is that God loves us insanely. And when we finally realize that, when we bump into that, when we open our eyes to see the baby in the manger, and we stand in awe of that, praise happens.
So are we all supposed to join the choir and praise God or something?
Well, that would make your mother very happy.
That's true.
Fill the pews up here. Praise is a lot more than singing in the choir. How do we explain that? Well, how do we respond to people? How are we appreciative toward people that we really love?
We let them know they're special to us.
Okay, so how do we let God know that he's special to us? We do that by singing psalms of praise. Here's the choir. You can join the choir. We go to nature and amazed at God's greatness. Read the psalms. They are full of this, again, bubbling over, praising God for who he's done, letting him know he's special.
We show people we love them by spending time with them.
All right. So how do we spend time with God? Well, we're doing it right now, right? We're in church. We do that by praying, by reading the Bible, by being aware. Sometimes it's driving somewhere in your car and you're looking at the scenery or you're thinking about what's going on. I drive back and forth from Steinbach every day, and it's a great time to pray. I do keep my eyes open, but it's a great time to pray and just be aware that God is there.
The people special to our loved ones become special to us.
Exactly. So we take a look at who's special to God. Well, turns out pretty much everybody is. And so we begin to treat people differently. We treat other people as special because they're special to God. And so now they're special to us. Now we have a connection. For instance, we are all brothers and sisters in Jesus, right? It's like caring for your in-laws because you love your spouse.
We tell other people how amazing the people we love are because they are.
That's part of the bubbling over. When we are amazed by what God has done for us, it becomes part of our conversation. And so when we talk to people, when we bump into people, what's gone on in our life comes out. Perhaps it's something that we've been learning through reading the Bible or a song that really hit us. I don't know about you, but this year the Christmas Eve service was just really moving. So when people say, "How was your Christmas?" they say, "We had the most amazing Christmas Eve service," and we tell them we're praising God through the middle of it all.
We do stuff for them that we know will make them happy.
For sure. And we praise God by doing things that he asks us to do. We begin to live like Jesus, and that's praising him. You people have shown me so many ways to praise God. You do that through delivering hampers at Christmas time, working at the MCC store, Meals on Wheels, working at some of the soup kitchens, the community kitchen downstairs, by being kind to your neighbors, even when they're not always kind back, by driving respectfully, even when the people on the road aren't necessarily, and the list goes on and on. We praise God by the way we live.
So, Gary, praise is our whole life. To praise God is the way we live. It has to do with how we respond to God, how we treat others, how we look after the earth, the way we enjoy the life he has given us. Everything.
You are right. You are right. It's everything. The Bible tells us in the Psalms, in Isaiah, in Revelation, a few other places, that when we become a Christian, God installs some software, and we have a new song within us, a song of praise to God. So when we've encountered God at the manger, like the shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph and everybody else, like we've done again this year, the response is that this song kicks in and just bubbles over.
It's not hard. In fact, it's simply responding to what we have seen and heard, like the people in the Christmas story. We become artesian wells of praise.
Amen.
Here's your opportunity to praise in singing number 212 in the Blue Book. O come, all ye faithful, all ye faithful. Especially in the refrain, O come, let us adore him. I would like to ask you to stand if you're able.
Thank you.
standing for the benediction and for the last song. We'll get you standing for a while today. And now, O people of God, you have encountered the Christ child again this year. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
For our closing song, please turn over the pages to number 208, Love Came Down at Christmas. I'll ask Trudy to play it through once, and then we'll sing verse 1 and 3.